Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. In a movie, or really even if you just go to like a theater or something to see a performance, or honestly, really any performance that you might go and watch, there's always going to be something that is right at the front. Right? Something that's supposed to catch your attention, that's supposed to be, you know, right where all of your attention is at. And then there are things that go on in the background. Right? In fact, especially if you're talking about like a theatrical performance of some type, there's people behind the scenes who have to do various jobs in order that the movie or the production can continue to go on. It's amazing to me after, you know, you watch a movie and the credits start to roll down, and there's like hundreds upon hundreds, you know, some movies, even thousands of names that kind of place themselves over your screen. But when you think about the movie, you didn't see 3,000 people on the screen in the movie. There were like, you know, maybe five or six, you know, a whole handful of people that were at the forefront, that were front and center. They get all the attention. The A-listers, right? But if you consider the actual story of the movie even, or the production, maybe there are like people walking around in the background. But you never see like in a movie, you see like a scene in New York and there's like somebody like walking down the street. You're never like, oh, I wonder what's going on in that guy's life. Because that's not what the movie's about. He's just an extra. He's literally just background walking through a set. It's ridiculous. But the Gospels are like this too. What takes front and center in the Gospel? Jesus himself interacted with hundreds upon hundreds, even thousands upon thousands of people during his ministry. The gospel writers, they only highlight a very minimal amount of the scriptures. In fact, John, in his gospel, he even leans into that a little bit. He says, and many other things were done that are not written in this book, but these things have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. So why does the gospel writer get inspired to bring certain events to the forefront? Why is it that in Luke 1, we hear about these miraculous conceptions, and then by Luke 2, we're already at the birth narrative? Why are these things highlighted immediately? Well, first is the proclamation of the word, right? But we'll find out at the end, because it's not just about proclaiming who Christ is, but it's about proclaiming it in order that the hearer might actually believe it. So let's take it in turn. Right? What comes front and center at first in Luke's gospel? It's the angel Gabriel. And he comes to pay a visit, not to Mary, not first, to Zechariah. Zechariah is in the business of leading the temple worship. And what happens? But the angel comes and he says, guess what, Zechariah? Your wife is going to have a baby. And they're both old. What do you mean I'm going to? There's no way. It's impossible for us to have a baby. That was Zechariah's reaction immediately. He didn't believe the angel. He thought what the angel suggested would never be able to happen. It was unbelief, at least to start. And we know later, you know, he does believe the angel by the end. Obviously, his wife gets pregnant. It's pretty undeniable. But as sort of punishment for this unbelief, he can't speak until he's born, the baby. Which we learn later is John the Baptist, right? And so it takes front and center, right? The angel proclaims, Zechariah is expected to believe, and yet for whatever reason he doesn't, not at first. Same thing almost perpetuates itself again with Mary. Because next in Luke's gospel, front and center, we have the angel Gabriel coming 6 months after that initial revelation to Zechariah. Now he's going to reveal himself to Mary. Mary, you're going to have a baby. And guess what she says? How can this be, since I am a virgin? She doesn't understand. It doesn't make any sense. That's not the way that births occur. But while at first she doesn't believe, you know, you might remember the end of that account, Mary says, let it be to me according to your word. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit conceives Jesus within her womb. Let's keep going. Next, what comes front and center, right? Gabriel preaching. We got this unbelief, this belief thing going on. Well, now all of a sudden, we're going to get this next part that we just read in our gospel for this morning. And that is that after Mary hears this proclamation, she runs out to find her cousin Elizabeth, who also has this miraculous conception taking place within her. And so the text went like this. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." It's the first interaction between John the Baptist and Jesus the Christ. And the most notable thing that happens in this little text is that John actually leaps in the womb. And pregnant women know, there's like jabs, right? There's pokes from the inside, things like that. But this was different. Elizabeth notices that it's this greeting that I heard with my ears and this baby heard, and all of a sudden now we have this strange movement, this movement that is more than just a regular gentle poke or something. But this event, it teaches us something that is very, 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 very important. Is that the word has power. See, it's not Gabriel preaching anymore, now it's Mary. And her greeting to Elizabeth, it's not like, how are you? Or hello? Or you know, what'd you do yesterday? No, her greeting is, I'm going to be the mother of Christ. We get as much, after our text ends, where we stopped there, we get what's called the Magnificat, where Mary has this great proclamation of how the Lord has favored her and the Christ child is in her womb. That was the greeting that Mary used with Elizabeth. She proclaimed Jesus the Christ was within her, and that's what made the baby leap. That's the power of God's word. And it's amazing to me. Zechariah, who's supposed to be this person who leads the temple worship, and Mary, who we know is greatly favored by God and chosen to be the mother of the Lord, both of their first reactions is to be like, what? What is John's reaction? John hears, even as a 6 months since conception, 3 months until birth, little baby in utero, he believes immediately. No hesitation, no doubt, no question, believing to such an extent that he leaps for joy. Wish I had that faith. Sometimes I hear the proclamation of the word, it doesn't make me leap for joy. I don't know about you guys. I mean, sometimes it does, but not all the time. Why does God bring this front and center? Why is this important for us to know? Well, it teaches us, one, that the word is very powerful. But it also teaches us that babies can be believers. John is a believer, even in utero. Honestly, it teaches us something about humanity. You can't be a mother unless you have a baby in you. Like, that's what it means to be a mom. You have a baby in the womb. You know, theologians, as they kind of trace out this text and reflect on Mary's hurried travel to go see Elizabeth, they predict that Jesus must have been 7 days since conception, or less. Jesus, as a 7-day-old fetus in Mary's womb, is causing faith to be created in John the Baptist. If that baby wasn't a person, it wouldn't have happened that way. But at that very moment, Jesus was already a human being. That's important. Because, you know, what is front and center for us today? You guys might have heard about Texas. This SB8 ruling that came down, that babies are considered human beings, are actually considered babies, at 6 weeks post-conception. And there are all kinds of people trying to fight against it, saying that's not okay, that's not right. But you know what? God's will was done in Texas, where now babies are recognized as humans, as babies. And so it stands that in Texas, you cannot get abortion after 6 weeks. Thanks be to God. The world's finally catching up with what's reality is. But that's a great victory. But it means here that we have to call a thing what it is. An abortion is murder. Whether it's 6 weeks or 4 weeks or 6 months or whenever. But this is where we come to you. I mean, great stories, all this front and center stuff, right? But front and center for you, I think, it's really at the last sentence in this text. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And this designation isn't only for Mary, it's for all of you. Blessed are you who believe that the Lord would fulfill his promises to you. Because truth be told, we're not always going to win the victory in this life. I mean, the Texas thing is great, but sometimes there's going to be unbelief. We saw that with Zechariah and Mary. Sometimes even in our own minds, the doubt creeps in and the uncertainty, and we're left wondering what's going to happen. Or, you know, hardship befalls our lives or something bad happens, and we're looking around for answers. But you're still blessed in that you believe God's promises. Because God's promises never pass away. And if God's promises don't pass away, then you don't pass away. And so today, my challenge for you is to believe. I know the scriptures, it's an unbelievable story. Virgin birth, old people having babies. It doesn't make any sense. But believe that Jesus is born of a virgin, because God promised that that's true. Believe that Jesus is sinless, because God promised that's true. Believe that Jesus is your Savior. Over sin, over Satan, over death, because God promised it's true. Believe that Jesus' blood and his death has atoned for your sins, that has taken them away from you as far as the east is from the west, because he takes those sins with him into a grave, and he leaves them there for all time. God promised, and God doesn't break a promise. Believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead after 3 days. That's unbelievable too. That doesn't happen. How can this be? Because Jesus is God and he has power over death. And it sounds ridiculous to the unbeliever, but to us we believe it because God promised. Believe that you are God's child and that he'll care for you and take care of you every single day of your life. Why? God promised. That is the promise he made to you in baptism. It's the promise that he just made to Amelia this morning. You just watched it happen. We didn't get to see it physically. I mean, there was no Holy Spirit doves falling from the ceiling. There was no, you know, angel choir that opened up, although that would have been awesome. But God's promises were delivered. And God's promises are real and true, and no one can take them away. She's received a gift. You've all received that gift in your own baptisms. Believe that Jesus takes bread and wine and it becomes his body and blood. Because God promised that too. And probably above all else, believe that Jesus loves you enough to forgive your sins. That you are indeed forgiven, even now as you hear these words, because God promised. The person of Jesus Christ, his works, his gifts, his promises, they are to you, they are for you, and they are always to be front and center in every aspect of our lives. And so in the church, we only got, 6 days left till Christmas? In the church especially, let us hear the proclamation of God's word. Let us hear his promises. And just like John, let's believe them and leap for joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.